and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network, all over the Great Lakes State, all over the world, and wildmichiganradio.com. You can pick up our podcast there. Thanks to Darton Archery, Lucky Buck Deer Mineral, and also Costa Sunglasses. See what's out there. See what you've been missing with the clearest lenses on the planet. And quickly, I want to remind everybody, Lansing Area Chapter of Safari Club International is having their 17th annual banquet and fundraiser coming up Saturday, March 18th. At the Eagle Eye Golf Club, a beautiful facility in Bath, Michigan. You can register online at scilansing.com. And it's a great time because they have the Outfitters Night, which is absolutely free. You can go in, you can check out the Outfitters, you know, grab a snack, and meet some of the fine folks from SCI. Mike Hoskins and a bunch of the great people there have been doing this for a while. A great organization. And their banquet and fundraiser happens on the 18th, a Saturday night. And that is first class. If you'd like to join a great banquet, you can go to scilansing.com. We'll have a link on the website at wildmichiganradio.com. And, of course, it's their annual area chapter banquet and fundraiser with Safari Club International. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about shed hunting with Darren Warner, Battle Creek Inquirer, joining me here in studio. And it's really funny because a couple of weeks ago, a friend of mine, sent me pictures of this beautiful 10 point in Lansing. I'm like, gosh, how old is that picture? He's like, I took it today. I'm like, wait. Here it is, the end of February, and they're still hanging on. But, Darren, according to everybody that I've talked to in the industry, my whitetail experts, we've had a mild winter, and those things are you know, if they're not stressed, they're going to hang on to their antlers for a while.
That's exactly correct, Duran. One of the biggest factors that determines when a buck drops its antlers is just its overall health, its overall body condition. Mm-hmm. And so, and I don't know if you've ever noticed this or have been around a hunter, but if you've ever seen a deer that's wounded, sometimes it sheds its antlers early. Actually, my nephew had the first buck he ever killed. Literally, it had a wound on its front leg. And as we're dragging the deer back, and this is late November, the antler popped right off. So overall body condition and the health of the deer really has a lot to do with when the deer does shed.
It does. And what's really funny is I've come across bucks in the past, too. I mean, there was one that got hit by a car that we found on my dad's property. It's laying there. It's six beautiful points on one side. I go to pick it up, and there's this one long tine, and it had had some trauma to its left side. Okay, its left side, it's missing an eye, so it caused the opposite side to grow a weird, wonky antler. And, you know, come to find also this deer had a 22 slug in it, a part of a broadhead. It'd been through the ringer. Now, why it had a 22 slug, I'll never know.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But to go out, it was a very mature whitetail buck. It was probably hours old when we found it. Mm-hmm. Got the tag for it. You know, looked at it, and then my buddy took it. My buddy took and harvested the meat from it, what he could salvage.
Sure.
And I kept the antlers, and I still have them today. But when you find those cool sheds like that, sometimes there's been some trauma or something that has gone on in the life of that deer. But shed hunting is becoming big business now. It's becoming people are breeding dogs and training dogs to find sheds. And this is what you want to talk about now is shed hunting in general for the spring.
Yeah, exactly. If you don't own what they call an antler dog, and actually I know a bunch of good folks, they run a company called down in Missouri called antlerdogs.com. And that's exactly what they do. Their entire business is around breeding, raising, and training dogs, primarily labs, to find shed antlers. And, you know, not surprisingly, a dog will find 10 times as many sheds as any human ever could. But
absolutely.
Yeah. But if you don't own a shed hunting dog, which most people don't, and that's, you know, really kind of another topic about how to train a dog for that purpose, you know, one of the first things is you've got to be looking in the right spots. You'd be amazed how many people go out there and they're just kind of wandering around and they're not looking in those areas in the late winter, early spring where deer tend to congregate, which are include places like, you know, primary food sources, late winter food sources, bedding areas, swamps, any areas that provide cover from the winter elements. Those are areas that you really need to target to try to find sheds. And some of the best sheds actually can be found in areas where they have minimal or no deer hunting, which if you think about it, makes a lot of sense.
Sure.
Because the more deer you have, the more bucks you have that survive, the more sheds you can find the next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny. You just brought up my whole hunting area there. the small piece of property that I hunt, you know, I mean, it's got a great bedding area. There's a swamp connected. There's a pond where we have on our property. And they got no pressure from me last year because I never even got out, you know, never even bought a license last year. Everybody's like, well, why didn't you buy a license? You know, I had a lot of stuff going on. You know, and it's hard to hunt when you have that much going on. I said, you know what? This is the first year in 36 years that I didn't buy a deer license. And it was, I was okay with that because, you know, look, yeah, I mean, like we talked about, I got married in August and we did a cruise in September and we just had so much going on with the new house and all of these things all at one time that that had to be taken care of. So hunting was really put on the backside.
Sure. Yeah. Duran, no, I understand. I've got three small children and as you, and you know me, you and I have known each other for years. I'm a deer hunting nut.
Right.
But that's what I focus my hunting on. I haven't been turkey hunting in years. I just unfortunately don't have the time.
Yeah. On the other hand, my season lasted 18 minutes. I was happy and sad all at the same time. It's like watching the mother-in-law go off the cliff in your Cadillac. You know, it's like, yay, oh.
Sure.
And not that we want anybody's mother-in-law to go off the cliff in your Cadillac. Just a metaphor. But what got you into shed hunting? I mean, I know it's great times outdoors and getting outdoors, especially in the springtime. But what really kind of got you involved in shed hunting?
Well, years ago, as a born and raised deer hunter in northern Michigan, you know, like a lot of folks, I grew up, my father, my older brother, my uncles, they all hunted and I couldn't wait to get out there myself and do it. And so years ago, I used it as primarily as a scouting method because as you know, if you find a shed, that means the buck that was carrying it survived. Right. And today you find a lot of hunters who still do get out and they look for sheds and they kind of use it as almost like trying to kill two birds with one stone where they're out there to try to scout for the following fall and also pick up sheds. Now, that's all fine and good, but the problem with that approach is you're not going to find the most sheds that way because your focus is going to be on other things.
Sure.
You know, it's going to be on, oh, look, I just found that big rub. Oh, look, I'm checking out this deer bed.
Right.
It's those types of things. So really, and it sounds simple, Duran, but one of the biggest reasons people don't find more shed antlers is because they don't focus hard enough. Mm-hmm. You know, they wander through an area and they don't systematically walk through that area as you would if you were looking for a wounded deer.
Right. And that's good to know, too. I mean, those areas where deer frequent and so many people, you know, in the hunting community, you know, people that deer hunt, I think tend to overthink white-tailed deer. Because they are such creatures of habit and maintain a very steady schedule, a very consistent pattern of where they're at for the most part, that I could see where that's the easy way to do it. So, you know, that given that, I could see where those areas would be, you know, easy places to find it. So we're going to speak more with Darren Warner. He's an outdoor writer of Battle Creek Inquirers, where you can find him. Years ago, man, you did an article on me on steelheading, and that was very cool, and I appreciate that. I still have that.
Yeah,
that article,
absolutely,
by the way.
Absolutely. So, I haven't done as much writing for the Battle Creek Inquirer lately. I do more freelance work now.
Sure.
But I do a lot of work for Deer and Deer Hunting.
Okay.
If you go to deerandeerhunting.com. And I'm also a frequent contributor to Michigan Outdoor News.
All right.
And a bunch of other publications.
Well, good deal. We're going to talk more with you here in a couple of minutes, find out what's going on in your world of outdoor writing. It's Wild Michigan. Find us on the web at wildmichiganradio.com. Also, don't forget, SCI Lansing Banquet and Fundraiser going on Friday, March 17th for Outfitters Night, and the Banquet and Fundraiser Saturday, March 18th. SCILansing.com. Tell them Wild Michigan sent you.
Munch of Michael Waddell's Bone Collector, and you're listening to my main man, Duran Martinez, on Wild Michigan.
Rifle in a gun rack, hanging in the back glass, buck knife on my belt, ain't no lamp for sale.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez joining you in studio. Appreciate you joining us all over the world at wildmichiganradio.com and your local affiliates as well. Thanks to each and every one of the local affiliates out there that carry this show. And if you'd like Wild Michigan in your area, by all means, contact your local radio station or contact me directly. Outdoormailbag@gmail.com is where you can find my email address, or go to the website, find my phone number, call me directly. If you've got questions or anything, happy to answer them, happy to answer the phone. If I don't get to it, leave a message by all means, and we'll get you all taken care of. Darren Warner is our guest here. He's an outdoor writer doing a lot of freelance stuff. You can find him at Michigan Outdoor News, one of our favorite news publications. Our good friend Bill Parker, editor of that. And also, we're going to be talking more about putting a publication together and, you know, a little bit more on that with Kevin Spear in the next segment of the show. But Darren Warner is our guest right now. We were talking about shed hunting, and there's a process. I mean, as soon as these things drop, I mean, they start regrowing, and that's, you know, what we always tell people about our Lucky Buck product that's been sponsoring us here for a few years. It's a great, great mineral, not only as an attractant, but it helps them regain minerals and things that they lose during the rut and during the course of the year, course of the winter, rather. And it helps them replenish what their body is missing. But then again, make sure that you are using it correctly in the spots in Michigan where you can or wherever you listen. Lucky-buck.com has all of the rules because Michigan's got some spots because of CWD. You cannot use it. So we want you to do it safely and legally. Now, let's go back, Darren, to the process of dropping. I mean, look, they drop them every year. There's a reason. It's not just to get bigger.
Yeah, you know, it's a fascinating process, Duran, because what really happens is once daylight increases, which happens at December 22nd, the increasing daylight sends a signal that the buck's optical nerve actually recognizes. And that basically sends a signal to its pituitary gland to decrease testosterone production.
Right.
It's really the reversal of what happens in the late summer, early fall, when antlers harden and the velvet comes off. When that happens, when testosterone drops to a certain level, that's when the one layer of cells, and I do mean one layer that holds the antler onto the deer's head, dries up or dies off, and the antler will fall off. And there's no predicting exactly when that's going to happen. You know, we talked earlier about how the buck's overall physical condition will impact that, but it's really just a unique process of the separation. And what's interesting about the antler itself is, you know, the rough end of the antler that was attached to the buck's head, it's almost like a buck's fingerprint. Because it is unique. And for deer managers, if you're really interested in trying to determine if one or two set of antlers came from the same buck in, you know, successive years or in several years, look at those ends of the antler and see if they look similar. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes they do. And you can tell that that's the same buck that has shed multiple sets of antlers through the years.
Right. And, you know, and that's important, too, because sometimes we get something on a trail camera that we see and then we see it the next year. It looks similar, but we can't really tell. But if you find those sheds, it'll give you opportunity to really put a closer, more positive spin on the whole thing to help you identify more clearly what you're chasing or what you're finding.
Absolutely. And, you know, when we go looking for sheds, and I like to think about this as when we all first started deer hunting. When we first started deer hunting, we were looking at for whole deer.
Sure.
Okay. As you get older and you gain experience, you start looking for parts of the deer. One of the big problems that you find with shed hunters is they go out there, and I've done this myself, we're looking for the whole shed.
Right.
But rarely will you find an entire antler that's fully exposed just laying there on the ground, right?
Right.
Right. You have to learn to identify and to look for parts of an antler, whether that's be a tine poking out of a leaf pile or whether that's just the base of that antler that seems to be sticking up out of the snow. once you kind of learn to do that, you'll find that you find a lot more sheds.
Right. It's kind of like morel hunting. Once you see one,
right,
you know, they kind of, oh, there they are. They're everywhere. But it's well, okay, look, I'm not really good at morel hunting either, so probably shouldn't say that. But, you know, I mean, animals in general are photosensitive. You know, I mean, I showed you video of some turkeys. I was physically walking with these toms and hens today. And they were guarding. They were getting themselves to the point, you know, where they're starting to get around these hens. And by the time season comes, the majority of the hens have already been bred anyway.
Sure.
You know, and because their time is now, and that's why they're, you know, doing what they're doing, you know, flocking around these hens, strutting. And if I share the video, you'll be amazed, because there's a triple and there's a double in this pile. You saw it for yourself. The beard on that one tom, which I'm assuming is probably the dominant. He was the biggest doggone bird. But this hen had it, probably an 8-inch beard on her herself. It's incredible. And I'll put that video up, hopefully, on the Wild Michigan page at wildmichiganradio.com and our Facebook as well. So you got a couple minutes left in the segment. Darren Warner, outdoor writer, joining us here on Wild Michigan. What else you got going on? You're constantly busy because, I mean, dude, this is your life. I mean, this is kind of my life, but this is like really your life as a writer.
Yeah, it really is, Duran. I'm actually working on a lot of different stories right now for Deer and Deer Hunting Magazine. I just finished a story of some of the biggest yet subtle game camera mistakes that deer hunters make when they're using game cameras. Mm-hmm. I'm working on that. I also am working on a piece that goes in depth into today's insulation used in hunting boots.
Oh, okay.
And basically just explaining how each insulation type works, whether that be PrimaLoft or Thinsulate or wool or whatever, and how you should take care of it and what you should look for when you're looking for boots with that type of insulation. I mean, really, you know, I cover a lot of different topics.
Sure.
I tend to focus on deer and deer hunting because I'm such a deer nut, but I like to write about a myriad of different topics.
Absolutely. And you can find that work everywhere, man. Deer and Deer Hunting, Michigan Outdoor News. You've written in the past for Battle Creek Inquirer, and that's where we found you first. You know, so your work is everywhere. And now people can put a voice to the writing, you know.
Sure.
See, unlike me, they want to they put it, they don't want to, but they put a face to the radio thing.
Sure.
So yeah, it's pretty cool. But
well my one final tip about shed hunting would be just prepare for it. You know, wear waterproof boots, bring snacks, bring water, because you can walk for miles, mm-hmm, and not find a shed. And then finally, just, you know, be careful that you're following all the local laws and stuff. Don't go trespassing on someone's,
absolutely,
property without permission. You know, a lot of folks won't let you deer hunt, but they'll let you come look for sheds. So don't, you know, don't hesitate to ask someone about that.
Yeah. And don't be afraid to show up in like normal clothes when you go to ask somebody.
Yes,
don't
correct.
Show up in
no.
your camo, because that yeah. will, that, you know, that might turn some people off. Look, I love my camo as much as everybody else, but you have to be prepared to handle somebody who's automatically going to be on the defensive when somebody comes to their door.
That's absolutely right. I mean, you need to just dress, you know, regular jeans, you know, regular hiking boots, and just, you know, be straightforward, be honest, and just tell them you're trying to find some sheds this year. Would they mind if you walked around on their property? And, you know, don't harass the deer. That would be my other comment. You know, if you're running a lot of deer off, then maybe you should be waiting until the deer move out and that type of thing. Unfortunately, there are some states like Utah, Colorado, they've had such a huge influx in shed hunters, mm-hmm, that they've had to regulate it.
All right, Darren Warner, appreciate you joining us here. This is Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up, turn the noise down, let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host all over the Great Lakes State, all over the world. Because I'm trying to conquer it, wildmichiganradio.com. You can pick up the podcast and find our great sponsors on there, like Darton Archery. Also find out that the Lansing Area Chapter of Safari Club International is having their 17th annual banquet and fundraiser coming up Saturday, March 18th. Okay, that's the banquet night, Outfitters Night. If you just want to slide on in, check it out, is on St. Patrick's Day, Friday, March 17th. both of them at the Eagle Eye Golf Club in Bath, a beautiful facility overlooking the Hawk Hollow Golf Course. And they really do banquets right, because our commemorative Bucks of Michigan Pheasants Forever Chapter 467 banquet is there. Safari Club International banquet's there. A lot of things that we go to are at Eagle Eye, and there's a very good reason for it. And make sure you go to scilansing.com to get your tickets right now. This is a wonderful event, and SCI, Safari Club International, is first for hunters, and they want you to be your rights to be protected as a hunter and as a gun owner as well. Going to move right along. Thank our friend Darren Warner, who's an outdoor writer, and go to a different outdoor writer. Kind of the theme here for this hour of the show. Kevin Spear from Michigan's Hooks and Bullets magazine joins me right now. Kevin, you and I have crossed paths quite a few times over the 11 years we've been doing this show. Never had the opportunity to really talk. So man, welcome, and how are you? How is the season finding you?
Good morning, Duran. It's finding me wonderful. If the snow would stop up here.
Now, you're where now? You're up north. I know that, but where exactly up north are you?
Based out of East Jordan.
And you're getting a bunch of snow up there still?
Oh, yeah. Four to 8 inches just in the last 24 hours.
Yay! Go up north. Yeah, I'm good. I'm in Lansing area, man. We got nothing. Although, like I was telling Darren in the earlier segments of this show today, I was out literally walking with some toms and some hens. Okay, and they're in the city, but in a rural type area, and I was walking with these toms. One of them had probably a triple beard easily from what I could see. There might have been more there. And there was a hen that had a very, very impressive, probably about an 8-inch beard on her own. So I'm so ready for turkey season, you don't even know.
Don't you have a cell phone?
I shot him with my camera, yes.
You already knew where I was going with that.
I did, man. I got to stay one step ahead of you, because you're one of these guys.
Modern technology is great, isn't it?
It is. I mean, you're one of these guys that put pen or typewriter to paper and print, and I get to talk. I pretty much say what's on the top of my head, but Michigan's Hooks and Bullets magazine, you've been around for a little while that I know of, and how long have you been doing this with this magazine? Because it's a pretty popular piece.
12 and a half years now.
Holy smokes. Yep. I think I remember it was in its infancy when I first started my show, which is 11 years ago. And you know, this is where we talked about comparisons between you and I. And you like myself, aside from my friend Alex in the basement pushing buttons for me. This is a one-man business, and it can be very difficult. And I don't know how you do it with a complete magazine, dude. I really don't know.
Yeah, it is. I'm a one-man show. Actually, I joke about it. I say the three of us work really hard on this, me, myself, and I. And I've had other folks question how in the world I'm able to do it, too, but it's just a true passion. I mean, I really love my job, and it's really hard to compare it to anything, because there's very few jobs out there that people can really understand what I go through.
No, it's tough, and not every day does a story come to your mind. I know how this works.
Well, I don't have to have my mind working on stories all the time, because I have a really good collection of dedicated outdoor writers, and they're the guys that are out there, and gals, mm-hmm. that are walking the walk, so to speak. You know, they're hunting and fishing as a passion. They're actually outdoor writers, and they do this for a living. So I rely on them to bring all this good article content.
Kevin Spear is our guest here from Michigan's Hooks and Bullets magazine on Wild Michigan. Kevin, I'm going to call a few people out on this. No, they don't like it. I really don't care, because that's what I do for a living. I have a show. I have opinions. And, you know, I'm not expecting everybody to agree with me, but I'll say this. There are a lot of outdoors television shows out there. A lot of them have no business being on TV. I don't care what anybody says. But and a lot of people are clamoring to be in the outdoors television world. Everybody's got a camera. Everybody thinks they can do this. But not everybody is putting together an outdoors magazine. So what the hell were you thinking?
Well, you know, I wasn't. I was in the trades my whole life. I installed heating and air conditioning. I tried to retire at an early age, and that got really boring, because everybody else had to have a job and a family, and there was nobody that could go hunting and fishing as much as I did. So I know people find this hard to imagine, but I really got tired of hunting and fishing. It just got so old doing it by myself all the time. And owned a bed and breakfast in Cadillac, and I'm sitting on the porch drinking coffee, watching my life savings go down the tubes because I wasn't really being productive. I was too young to retire. And I just started talking about this one day at a restaurant, you know, like, I wonder what a magazine, you know, just strictly about hunting and fishing here in Michigan, I wonder what that would be like. And I did a lot of reading, and I saw what all the other publications had to offer. And a lot of it was around the country or around the world, and it wasn't really just dedicated for the Michigan sportsman. And some guy at a table next to me, I was talking with a friend, having coffee at a restaurant, and he said, do you know Mark Romanek? And I said, no, I never heard of the guy. And he knew his phone number, and he gave me Mark's phone number, and I called Mark, and, well, the rest is history. Mark was a great mentor for me in the beginning of the magazine, helped me get it going. He supplied. He's a great outdoor writer. And like I said, I rely on these guys for my content. And from the day I had that conversation in that restaurant, 7 weeks later, I was putting the first magazine on the shelf without any money out of my pocket. I just was able to talk enough people into advertising with me that the first issue, it's a free magazine on the shelf. Mm-hmm. And so it's completely funded through my advertisers. And if I can give them a little plug,
absolutely.
Thank you, all of you guys. and, you know, I'm fortunate some of them have been with me since day one. And that's pretty hard to say to keep print advertisers happy for over 12 years.
You know, in a world where you've got newspapers, I mean, remember they used to be huge, big, thick newspapers. They've turned into leaflets because of the internet.
Yep.
You are keeping Michigan's Hooks and Bullets on shelves free.
I can't explain it to you. I really don't. I joke about it. I say these people feel sorry for me, and you know, they're doing it out of sympathy. But the reality of it is they all really do see results from the magazine, and I'm really proud of the magazine. So, you know, one thing is I never get magazines back. When I put them on the shelf, they're usually gone within a few days.
And that's a beautiful thing. Kevin Spears, our guest here from Michigan's Hooks and Bullets magazine. And it's so funny, you know, the more I talk with you, the more parallel we have. I was a printing press operator. I got into radio at the same time, so I was doing both at the same time. I've been in the radio business by that time, probably 13 years, and went to my boss and said, hey, you ever want to do an outdoors radio show? Let me know. Guess what? Week later, he says, put it together. And I'm like,
right.
Oh.
And here you are now.
Yeah. Well, it's been a learning curve the whole way. But this whole having people pay for your stuff to be out there, that's new to me. I know we've got some great sponsors, and I'm just picking. But yeah, a lot of it does come out of our pockets, you know, out of my pocket for this show. But that's why I have you on here, is because I know you're a one-man entity with Michigan's Hooks and Bullets, and I'm going to talk more with you about that in a couple of seconds. So if you don't mind hanging on, I'd really appreciate it.
We got it. Yep.
All right. Kevin Spear, Michigan's Hooks and Bullets magazine. We'll find out how to put this together. Now, don't go getting any crazy ideas, people. Just use your camera on your phone and put a TV show together. It seems how it's been doing lately. So it's Wild Michigan. You're listening to us on the Michigan Talk Network.
Join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an hour to time, Interstate 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host all over the Great Lakes State, on the internet and the world, wildmichiganradio.com. And it's so much fun talking to somebody new. Even though you know somebody, you kind of know somebody throughout the course of the years that we've done the show, never had the opportunity to really sit down and talk. And when you do so blindly, there's no questions, no pre-made questions, like we're doing right now with Kevin Spear from Michigan's Hooks and Bullets magazine. You know, the curiosity in me always wants to know how something gets started or how to do something or how to do something better. We get the experts on our show. Kevin, you've been an expert in the field of magazines and publishing because you've had success and you still continue to have success and you still are putting papers out, you know. And now, how often does the magazine come out?
Every other month, six times a year.
So you've got a bi-monthly magazine coming out. It's still successful by you know, all meanings of the word. And it's got to be a good feeling, especially, you know, when this was all just kind of an idea on a you know, cocktail napkin, if you will.
Exactly. I can't explain it. It's just been a true passion for me. I love what I do. I've met some of the best people in the industry since I've started this. I've been able to experience some hunting and fishing adventures I probably never would have encountered.
Sure.
You know, without the connection to the magazine. And it's just been, like you said, it's been a learning curve since day one. And it's a bumpy curve too.
Oh, don't I know it? You know, like I said, I've done radio for, 24 years now. But at no point in time prior to this show was talk radio any part of it.
And so did you have a mentor through any of this?
I'll be honest with you. I did work with Steve Gruber, a good friend of mine who does a show called Outdoor America. He founded Wolf Creek Productions and had, you know, founded The American Archer and some of the best shows on the Outdoor Channel. I worked with Steve at WJR as a producer for that show. And what made me think I could just go off and do my own, I had no idea, because I really didn't know about the hunting and fishing industry itself, and what I knew about hunting and fishing in general couldn't fill a thimble. So that's why
you know. And I have a lot more in common now than we realized.
But that's why we draw in the people that are, like you had Mark Romanek, you know, Mark Martin became a friend of mine. Lance Valentine became a friend of mine. All these guys, even people in the upper echelons of outdoor television, have become friends because, you know,
right,
we have questions. We have questions that everybody has, but they don't have the access to these people that we do.
No, it's amazing. And sometimes to think that I have some of these phone numbers on speed dial on my phone, and that's what has helped me with the magazine a lot, is having all of these connections. Because I was a guy that punched a time clock all of my life,
mm-hmm,
worked for somebody else. I get a couple weeks vacation. I would go hunting or fishing because I didn't have time to do that. But I didn't care how many grains of powder went into a bullet. I just cared that if I put it in my gun, if it worked or not.
God bless.
And so I kind of went to that premise with the magazine, is just kind of keeping it as simple as possible, but good information. And so I'm not the smartest guy when it comes to hunting and fishing myself. I really don't have the answers that people ask of me. The only reason I seem kind of smart is because I know people that I can call immediately and say, hey, I got a question for you. And I can get an accurate answer now. And that to me is it goes right back to what an old guy told me one time. He said, the smartest man in the world is only as smart as the people he knows.
Exactly.
And to me, that's been powerful advice, you know. And so I do. I know some really smart people. And, you know, my mentor, if I may mention names, David Rose, this guy has been, I don't know why he does it. I really don't know why he does it. But he spends endless hours calling me and saying, Kevin, you can't do that. Or Kevin, you should do this. And, you know, and it's only because of him and hundreds of other people that write me letters and emails and phone calls. That's where the magazine has got its roots, is through everybody else.
And I'll tell you about David A. Rose, who's been a very, very good friend of ours and a teacher. Everybody that comes on the show is a teacher, because everybody you meet knows something you don't. And that has been the premise of this show. I'm not the guy. I'm not the guy that's going to teach you anything. I'm the guy that wants to learn and has access to ask those questions, just like you do. And fortunately, I've never got that from David. He's never told me once, you can't do that. Because I think David understands I'm opinionated as they come, and there's probably not much that's going to change my mind about things.
Right, right.
But
well, we all have an opinion.
Absolutely. And, you know, and when I talk to David, like I'm talking to you, I say, David, we just spent 20 minutes going back and forth on a conversation that we're having about the outdoors, or we're, you know, like you and I are having about your magazine and how you got started and why you're doing it. And I get done, I'm like, did we just cover anything at all?
Right.
But apparently we did, because people are listening and they're paying attention. And I, you know, I'm forever grateful for each and every one of you people that push the button for the podcast or find our affiliates that have been carrying this show for 11 plus years now. It's so humbling. And you know this as a writer, because you get that response from people. People write to you.
All the time. I get phone calls, emails. And it's funny how many letters I get in the mail that from folks that they spend the time to write down something and then mail it to me or send me a picture. And to me, that's just phenomenal that people take the time out of their day to do that.
Absolutely. You know what? And I'll speak for you if you don't mind on this. As a person and that does radio, this is just what I do. I'm no different than anybody else. I'm definitely not better than anybody else. By all means, man, say hi. We want to know, because I don't know who listens until somebody pipes in. You don't know who reads till somebody pipes in.
Correct. Exactly.
You know, and believe me, if I don't have the podcast up, I got people that are going to tell me, dude, you're behind, and I'm behind now, and I'm going to hear it. But
we're running long, are we?
Yeah, no. I'm just behind on uploading the podcast to the website.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But you don't have that option with a magazine. You have to put it out. You have deadlines. But Kevin Spears, our guest
Lots
here,
of them.
You know, and Kevin, I have to applaud you on a magazine. And something that a lot of people don't realize is there is a balance between advertising and good content in a show. And you have a formula that you have stuck to from the very beginning.
I do. I have a template for the magazine for my layout. So, and people appreciate that. They can flip right to the Cooking on the Wild side and see what kind of recipes we got this issue, because they know what page it's on. It's always there.
Not only that, but I mean, you balance your advertisers with your content. You know, you're not over-advertising.
Yes, I do. I never go beyond 50% advertising in the magazine. It's about the article content. I'm sorry, all you advertisers that are listening out there, but without that article content, nobody's going to want to pick up my magazine, and that's when they see your ad. So, yes, there has to be that balance. It has to be something that people want to come back for time after time after time, just to see what's going to be there next.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what? And conversation we had again in regards to a TV show, that, you know, the person states to me, oh, I'm their biggest advertiser and I want rates from you. Well, you know what? I watched that TV show. I wasn't terribly happy with the content and how it was laid out. And you know what? I think I'm going to pass on the opportunity to take the advertising dollars, because this is my show. I protect it like you protect your magazine.
Absolutely. You have to. It's your name on there.
Absolutely. Kevin Spear, Michigan's Hooks and Bullets Magazine, is who we're talking to. And, you know, and again, these conversations have a tendency to leave out into left field sometimes, but there is content. There is content here. There's reason behind it. And if you missed any of it, you can pick up why Kevin started this magazine and, you know, and why it's not easy to do. You know, we'll tell you all day long. But Kevin, it's afforded us opportunities and friendships that have been phenomenal. I'll say that from a personal standpoint.
You can't beat it. It's been a wild ride.
And now that we've outed David A. Rose on this whole thing.
well, just one of the many. I mean,
I know. I'm just kidding.
A long lineup of writers that have just been phenomenal with their help and support and constant article content that's good, readable material, and that's what keeps me alive is those guys.
All right, real quickly before we end the segment here, Kevin, what do you got coming up in the next issue of Michigan's Hooks and Bullets?
Oh, well, I can't tell you that.
Oh, come on! Okay, what's on the shelf now? How's that? What's on the shelf now?
I'll tell you this. We're not going to take sides on any issues. We're going to just try to report some new fishing tips and some hot spots for some spring fishing, and we're going to give a few trophy room pictures and say thanks to some veterans.
All right, man. That is good content right there. And if you want somebody to take sides, I'll take sides. I'll just do it off air.
We can do that.
Kevin Spear, Michigan Hooks and Bullets Magazine. Look for him. Also, I hope to see you at the Commemorative Bucks of Michigan Banquet, Pheasants Forever Chapter 467, Safari Club International, SCI Lansing.com. Thanks to Darton Archery, Lucky Buck, Costa Sunglasses, and especially you.